We continue Be'ezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Tzadik Amud Aleph. We begin four lines from the top, from the Mishnah, the last Mishnah of Perek Teshi'i. This limud is Le'ilui Nishmat Arav Shalom Cohen Ben Tefach HaMalka, Yair Ben Tov Hanaim Ben Chatun, Yom Tov Ben Chana, Shaul Ben Latife, Erez Ben Miriam, Baruch Ben Shelomo, סוליקה בת חנה, את הרבקה בת מרדכי, רבקה בת דבורה, אבא שלומית בת אילנה אסתר, חיה אסתר, חווה בת שרה, לובה בת מזל, עליהם השלום. אוסו לזכות רפואה שלמה, פרלי שבע בת נטע, אסתר בת שרה, חנה בת סוליקה, אין גבריאלה מסעודה בת שרה. The Mishnah begins by saying, קטן שהסיעו אביו כתובתה קיימת. A katan shehisio aviv, in a case of a katan who's under age of bar mitzvah, who was married off by his father. So now a ktuba was written for the kala. Ktubata kayemet. The ktuba that was written is valid even after the husband becomes bar mitzvah. What was written before is valid. He cannot excuse himself by saying, well, it was written when I was a katan, it doesn't count. No. She'al minat ken kiyema, because it was on this condition, on the terms of the ketubah, that he kept her as a wife after he became bar mitzvah. So therefore, the ketubah that was written before is valid. And similarly, the Mishnah continues, ger shenitgayra ishto imo, a convert whose wife converted with him. So, ktubata kayemet, the ktubah that she had from before they converted, is valid. She'al minat ken kiima, because it was on that condition that he maintained her as his wife. They stayed married, and they stayed married with the intention of what he wrote in his ktubah, even in the time when they were not Jewish. So, even after they are mitgayel, they converted, the ktubah that was written before, whatever it was, is still valid. Now the Gemara begins by saying, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, this that they said in the Mishnah, that the wife of a katan or a convert, a ger, receives payment of the ketubah, lo shanu ela mane matayim. It's only regarding the ikar haketubah, regarding the main sum of the ketubah, which is either 100 or 200, right? 100 for almana, 200 for betula. Aval tosefet enla. But the additional sum that was written into the ketubah, this she doesn't have the right to receive, because the shtar is not legally binding, because it was written by a katan. Therefore, she receives only the amount of the ikara ketubah, because the ikara ketubah, that's tanai bedin. That's by the jurisdiction, by the ordinance of Chachamim. And therefore, it's regardless if a shtar was written or not. But regarding the tosefet ketubah, which is absolutely dependent on the validity of the shtar, being that it was written before he became a gadol, or before they became Jewish, it doesn't have validity. That's according to Rav Huna. V'Rav Yehuda amar afilu tosefet yeshla. However, Rav Yehuda argues with Rav Huna, and he says, no, even the additional sum, even the tosefet ketubah, she has a right to collect. So the Gemara asks a question, a stira, a contradiction from a braita. Metivei, this is a question on the opinion of Rav Yehuda. In the braita it says, chitshu, in the case of a katan after he became a bar mitzvah, or the goy after he became a ger, chitshu, if they then introduced an added amount to the ketubah, they renewed, meaning they added another amount to what was written already in the ketubah, notelet mashechitshu, then she's entitled to take the additional amount that they were mechadesh, that they added then. So now, what do we see from this baita? Hichu in. That when is it that the woman receives it? Only when hichu, when it's the amount that was introduced after bar mitzvah, or after the giyur, the conversion. Lo hichu lo, but if no additional sum was added after that time, she doesn't collect, even if it was written in the ketubah beforehand. So this is a question on Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, "Afilu tosefet yeshla," without chitshu. Here we see from the Braita only if it's chitshu. Well, the Gemara says it's not a question. You can always say, "Ema af mashech chitshu." The Braita, when it says "notelet mashech chitshu," it means she takes even that which was renewed, that which was introduced, which means in addition to the entire amount of the original shtar, she also gets mashechitshu. So the Gemara asks, "Vehalotani hachi," but the Tana did not say that, because you can even see from the continuation of the Braita that it's not what it means, that af mashechitshu, in addition to what was written before. Because look, it says in the Braita, "Chitshu notelet mashechitshu." If they introduce the new amount after the bar mitzvah or after the conversion, she gets what they added. Lo chitshu, if they didn't add anything afterwards, betula gova matayim ve'almana maneh. The betula only gets the ikar ktubah, the 200, and the almana, the 100. So you see, the tosefet ktubah, which was written beforehand, she's not entitled to. Tiyufta de Rav Yehuda. This is a conclusive refutation on the opinion of Rav Yehuda. In fact, the Gemara explains, Rav Yehuda matnitin at ite. Rav Yehuda made a mistake because of the language of our Mishnah, and that's why he reached his incorrect conclusion. The Gemara says, because in our Mishnah, what does it say? It says, katan shisu aviv ketubata kayemet. Hu savar, so Rav Yehuda thought, ketubata kayemet, her ketubah is valid, akula miltakai. That it's referring to the entire ketubah, the entire amount that was written in the ketubah is kayemet, is valid. Velohi, but in truth, that's not true. As we see from the Braita, a'ikar ketubah kayet. It's only referring to the main amount of the ketubah, which is established by the Chachamim, which is by the power of Tanai Bedin, but not the tosefet ketubah. Like the opinion of Rav Huna, not like Rav Yehuda. Adran alach hakotev liishto, This concludes the ninth perek. Bezrat Hashem, we begin now the tenth perek of Masechet Ketubot, Mi Shehaya Nasui. The Mishnah begins as follows. Mi Shehaya Nasui Shete Nashim. One who was married to two women, umet, and then he died. So now, Harishona Kodemet Lashniya. Which means this person who was married to two women, he died and he only left over enough property to pay up one ketubah of one of the wives. So who gets it? So the Mishnah says, Harishona kodemet lashniya. The wife that was married to him first, she precedes, she has seniority here in the collection of the ketubah, even if nothing will be left for the second one to collect. That's how it is. The first one will be able to collect from the property her ketubah. Because her shibud, her lien on his property by power of the ketubah, came before, and therefore she receives it. So harishona kodemet lashniya. Ve'yorshe harishona kodmin liyorshe hashniya. And also, if let's say the wives died after their husband, before they received any payment for the ketubah, so then Yorshe HaRishona, the heirs, the inheritors of the first wife, they precede the heirs of the second wife in collecting the payments of the ketubah. Next case, Nasa et HaRishona Vameta. If he married the first woman, and then she subsequently died. Nasa Shniya Umethu. And then he married a second wife, and he died. Shniya veYorsheha kodmim leYorshe haRishona. Then the second wife and her heirs, they precede the heirs of the first wife who died. The reason for that is because the ketubah of the second wife who is still alive, that's considered a debt that has to be paid from the estate of the husband who died immediately. Right? Has to be paid. Whereas the claim of the heirs of the Yorshim, of the first wife, that's a claim that is based on a tenai of ketubat benin dechrin, on a stipulation in the ketubah that the children inherit their mother's ketubah. so that the heirs receive their share only from property that remains after all other debts have been paid off. So first, the debt of the ketubah of the wife who is still alive has to be paid. If there's anything left, fine, then the yorshim of the first one can take. But they cannot take first, because they're only coming from the power of the tenai of ketubat benin dechrin, which is a stipulation in the ketubah that the children of a particular wife inherit her right to the ketubah. But here you have a second wife who's still alive, and she is demanding collection of her ketubah. That comes first. Okay, so that is the Mishnah. The Gemara begins by making a diyuk, an inference, from the beginning of the Mishnah. It said that if one was married to two wives and then he died, so and he only left enough for one, so then harishona kodemet lashniya, the first one precedes the second one. So now the Gemara is medayek midekatane harishona kodemet lashniya, from the language of the Mishnah that says the first one comes before the second. Veloketani harishona yeshla veashniya enla. It didn't say downright the first one has what to collect for her ketubah, the second one does not have. It didn't say it like that. It said the first one precedes the second one. She has the right to be first. Michlal, we can be medayek from this. We can infer from this that if, let's say, the second one came along and seized property in payment of her ketubah, we don't take it out of her hands. We don't remove it because her rights to the property are not totally canceled. It's just that the first one has precedence, has seniority. But if the second one went ahead and seized property first, we don't take it out of her hands. Shma mina. So the Gemara says we can learn from this, from our Mishnah, the following. Baal chov me'uchar shekatam v'gava, ma shegava gava. We learn from this in a case of, let's say, a baal chov, a creditor, who has a shtar that is me'uchar, that is dated later than the shtarot of other creditors. So what do we say? Shekadam vegava, and if he went ahead and he preceded the other creditors and he went ahead and collected his debt, mashegava gava, what he collected, he has collected. We don't take it out of him, even though the other debtors were first. But still, we learn from here that, okay, they have seniority, but if he went ahead and collected, we cannot take it out of him. However, the Gemara rejects this halakha that we learned from the Mishnah. Really, we cannot bring proof to the Mishnah like this. Le'olam imalach mashigava logava. Really, I can tell you that if the later creditor came and seized property first, what he collected is not collected, which means he has to restore the property to the debtor, so that he can pay the other creditors who are before him. So what about what we see from our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, it only says, Rishona kodemet lishnia, and we made a diyuk. It sounds like if the second one comes first, then she can keep it. Umay kodemet legamre katane. When it says in our Mishnah, kodemet, it means absolutely. It means completely. She has precedence to collect from the property for her ketubah, and even if the second one comes and collects first, she has to return it. Kodem, it means completely. And the Gemara brings an example from a different Mishnah, Keditnan, as it states in a Mishnah in Bava Batra, Daf Kuf Tet Vav, where it's talking about the halachot of Yerusha, inheritance. It states there, Ben Kodem Labat, the son precedes the daughter in matters of inheritance. Now, over there, the halacha is, if the daughter would come first and take part of the inheritance, it does not become hers. The son completely precedes her. Right? So therefore, when we see that sometimes the Tana uses the word kodem, even though it means completely, legamre. So over here also, harishona, kodemet lashniya, it means completely. Don't make from here a diuk that it's only precedence, but really if the second one seizes property, she can keep it. No, she can't. Kodem, it means absolutely and completely the first one has rights to collect and not the second one. Now the Gemara tells us that there was a different version of the limud to make an opposite diyuk from the Mishnah, which means everything we just learned now, we're going to see the reverse, a different version in the limud from the Mishnah. Ika de'amri, there are those who say that the discussion was as follows. Midelo ketani, from the fact that our Mishnah does not say the following. It doesn't say, im kadma shniya v'tafsa en motzi'im yada. From the fact that our Mishnah does not say, if the second wife came and seized first property, en motzi'im miyada, we don't take it out of her hands. From the fact that the Mishnah did not say that, michlal de'ikadma shniya v'tafsa mapkinan mina. We are to infer from this that if the second one indeed went ahead and seized property first, mapkinan mina, we remove it from her and we give it to the first one. Shma mina, from here we could learn, ba'al chov me'uchar shekadam v'gava, ma shegava lo gava. We could learn from here regarding a ba'al chov, a creditor who was a later creditor, his shtar has a later date. If he came and collected first, his collection is not a collection, which means we remove it from him and we pay the other ones first. And Gemara says, no, there's no proof. Le'olam imalach ma shegava gava. Really, I can tell you that by the Baal Chov, if the later one collected first, his collection is valid. So what you'll tell me, so how come in our Mishnah it did not say that if she seizes the property first, we don't remove it from her? If you're telling me that that's the halacha, that the collection is valid, so why doesn't it say that in our Mishnah, that if the second one seizes property first, we don't remove it from her? The reason is because Aidi de Tana. Because since the Mishnah taught afterwards, it said, Shniya v'yorsheha kodmim le'yorsheha rishona. Since in the next part of the Mishnah, it said, the second wife and her heirs have precedence over the heirs of the first one. Remember, in the case where the first wife died, and then he married a second wife, and then he died, and the second wife is collecting her ketubah. So over there, the Mishnah says, the second wife and her heirs have precedence over the first ones. So since it was going to say that in the Mishnah, and over there, it surely means that even if the Yorshe HaRishonah, if the heirs of the first one they went ahead and they seized property, they cannot keep it. We take it out of them because they are collecting an inheritance. And really, the first one that has to collect is the wife to collect her ketubah. So since it used the word kodmin in that case, Tana Nami HaRishonah kodemet lashniya. So that's why in the first case of the Mishnah, it also used the same language, and it said, HaRishona kodemet lashniya, that the first wife precedes the second, without any elaboration here, that the property would not be taken out of the hands of the second if she were to seize it. It just used the same language that was going to be used in the next clause of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah in regards to that case that we just mentioned now. What was the case in the second part of the Mishnah? Let's review that. Nasai tarishona umeta. If he married the first wife and then she died, and then nasai tashnia umetu, and then he married a second wife and then he died. So in that case, we say that the second wife, Shniya v'Yorshea, the second wife and her heirs, they have seniority, kodmin le'Yorshea Harishona, over the Yorshim of the first ones. And again, we explained why. Because the second wife is collecting tuba. That comes before the heirs of the first wife, who are coming to collect what is inheritance, as per the Tanai of Ktubat Benidichin. And therefore, the collection of the ketubah has to come first of the second wife. So, nasai tarishona. So, the Gemara begins by saying, Shma minat lat. We learn from this statement of the Mishnah three things. Shma minah, achat bechayav, veachat bemoto, yesh lahen ketubat benin dichrin. We learn that in a case where achat bechayav, veachat bemoto, that if one of the man's wives died in his lifetime, and the other one died bemoto, after his death, so then yesh lahen ketubat benin dechin. We see from the Mishnah that the sons of the first wife are entitled to collect ketubat benin dechin, which means the tanai that they inherit the ketubah of their mother, meaning they take their own share, separate from what they equally divide in the inheritance of the father. But besides that, they inherit separately their own mother's ketubah. That's ketubat benin dechin. Ve'lo chayshinan le'insuye. And the chidush is that we're not concerned that this is going to lead to any fights between the brothers. Now, mimai, from where do we see this in the Mishnah? Midikatani, from the fact that it states, shniya ve'yoshe kodmim li'yoshe rishona. We see that in the case where the first one died, and the second one, the husband died first, it says that the second one and her heirs are kodmin, they have seniority. They are the first ones to collect the ketubah le'yoshe arishona. They have precedence over the first ones. Mikdam hu dekadmi. So we make a diyuk. It's precedence that they have. They get first. Ha'ika shakli. But if there is enough funds in the estate of the father who died for all to come and collect, then shakli, then the children of the first wife, they take their own share of the ketubah of their mother. What was brought by their mother as a dowry into the marriage is exclusively inherited by her sons and not divided equally with the other sons altogether, their brothers from the same father. That's one halacha. Ushma mina ketubah na'aset motar lahaverta. This is halacha regarding the stipulation of ketubat benin dechin. The Chachamim ruled that when do we say the sons could claim their mother's ketubah? That's only when the value of the property of the father is more than the sum total of the ketubot by at least one dinar. So that at least we're able to be mikayem the mitzvah of yerusha, of inheritance. At least inheritance can be fulfilled. If each one is just going to take their ketubah, then there's no yerusha. When do we say that there is a din of ketubat benin dechrin, that each one takes their ketubah? That's when there is at least one dinar more of value in the property, but of which that we can divide into inheritance. Now, we learn from our Mishnah, from the fact that we see that the yoshim of the first wife who died, collect ketubat benin dechrin. So we see from here, ketubah na'aset motar lachaverta, that a ketubah can be considered a motar, a surplus for the other. Meaning like this, the fact that the children of the second wife are going to collect the ketubah of their mother, that already is considered like the motar. That's like the added dinar of worth on top of the ketubah of the first wife. Why? Because with the collection of the ketubah of the second wife that is inherited by the children of the second wife, you have the halachot of Yerusha, of inheritance, being fulfilled. Because the children of the first one and the second one, they are, by collecting the ketubah, they are causing their father who died to fulfill the mitzvah of paying up his debt. And that is considered their Yerusha. Because since the ketubah that's collected by the yorshim of the second wife is considered a debt that is owed by the father from his estate, so this amount is considered to have been paid equally by all the heirs. So therefore, it's considered like Yerusha was indeed fulfilled, and therefore the sons of the first wife could claim the ketubat benin dechin of their mother. The Gemara says, "Mimai midelo ketani im yesham motar dina." We see that from the Mishnah, it doesn't say that they can only collect if there is an extra dinar worth in the value of the estate. No, it didn't say that. It said they collect their ketubat benin dechrin, regardless if there is a motar. So you see from here that the collection of the ketubah of the second wife is considered like the motar, like the surplus that is needed in order for the ketubat benin dechrin to be able to be collected. That's the second halakha that we learn from the Mishnah. Ushma mina, and also further we learn a third point. Ketubat benin dechrin lo tarfa mimeshabdi. That when the sons are collecting the payment of the ketubah of their mother, as per the tenai of ketubat v'nidchin, it's not something that can be collected from Meshubadim. They cannot seize leaned property that their father sold to others. Just like when one is collecting a debt, you can go and seize leaned property, property that he sold. But in order to collect the ketubat v'nidchin, the ketubah of their mother, they cannot collect it mimeshubadim. How do we see that from the Mishnah? De'isal kadatin tarfa mimeshabedi, because if you think that you could collect it from leaned property, so then leitu b'nei rishona v'litrefinu libnei shniya. Why don't the sons of the first wife come and repossess and seize the land that was already claimed by the sons of the second wife as the payment for their mother's ketubah? Since the land that the sons of the second wife took was previously leaned due to the ketubah of the first wife. It doesn't say that they can do that. That means that the children of the first wife are not viewed as creditors who can collect leaned property. Rather, only like Yorshim. And Yorshim, heirs, cannot repossess property that was sold by the father. In this case, property that was seized by the second wife's children as collection of their mother's ketubah. Matkif la Ravashi. Ravashi asks a strong question to two of the three halachot that we just stated. Mimai, from where do we know all this? Dilma leolam im alach achat b'chaya v'achat b'moto, en lahem ketubat b'nidchin. Maybe even in the case, I can tell you, of one wife who died in his lifetime and one wife who died afterwards, there is no ketubat benidchin. And you'll ask, umay kodmin? What does it mean when it says in the Mishnah that the children of the second wife are kodmin? They precede the first ones. Lenachala katani. It simply means that after the sons of the second wife receive the amount of money of their mother's ketubah, then the sons of both marriages inherit equal shares of what's remaining. Not ketubat benindechin, meaning that they will inherit exclusively their mother's ketubah, as per the tenai of ketubat benindechin. No, maybe the Mishnah is not talking about ketubat benindechin. When it says kodmin, it means kodmin lenachala. It means only after the ketubah of the second wife is collected, then the rest of the property is split up equally. And if you'll ask, well, if that's the case, then why is the Mishnah calling them, the sons of the first wife, Yorshe Harishona, the heirs of the first wife? I mean, since according to you, Rav Ashi, the Mishnah is only teaching us halacha regarding inheritance from the father, not inheritance from the mother. So why are you referring to them as Yorshe HaRishona? They're not getting any special Yerusha from their mother, as you're saying, that there's no Ketubat Benidichin. Well, that's not a question. Aidi Detana Shniya V'Yorshea. That's only to use the same parallel phrase as was used regarding the second wife. Since it said Shniya V'Yorshea, the second wife or her heirs, Tananami Yorshea Rishona. That's why it used the terminology of Yorshea Rishona. But really, it's not necessarily talking about Ketubat Benidichin. And regarding the second halakha that you said, udika'amat ketuba na'aset motar lechaverta, from this that you learned that the second ketuba can be considered as the surplus, as the motar of the first one. Dilma le'olam imlach, really I can tell you, en ketuba na'aset motar lechaverta. Really, it's not true. Ketuba itself cannot be considered motar. Ve'hacha hu de'ika motar dinar. Over here in the Mishnah, we're talking in the case where there is a surplus of a dinar. In fact, the Gemara now says, "Ve'achat v'chaya v'achat v'moto tanaihi." Really, this case of achat v'chaya v'achat v'moto, when one wife died in his lifetime and one wife died following his death, there is a machloket tanaim be'emet. If the sons of the first wife who died in her husband's lifetime, if really they are entitled to collect exclusively their mother's ketubah as ketubat benidchin, or not, like Ravashi argued. It's a machloket, tanaim. Detanya, we learned in a braita, metu achat v'chaya v'achat v'moto. A case where one wife died in his lifetime and one died following his death. Ben Anas omer, Ben Anas says, יכולים בני הראשונה לומר לבני השנייה, the sons of the first wife can say to the sons of the second wife, בני בעלת חוב אתם. You are the children of a בעלת חוב, of a creditor. The father owes her the כתובה. תלו כתובת אמכם, וצאו. Collect your mother's כתובה and leave, and we inherit the rest because of כתובת בנין דחין. So according to Ben Anas, there is ketubat benin dechin for the first, for the sons of the first wife. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no. Kvar kavtza nachala milifne b'nei arishona v'nafla lifne b'nei ashniya. When the husband died, so now the inheritance already left the sons of the first wife and came into the possession of the sons of the second wife as an inheritance. Which means, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Chachamim did not institute the Ketubat Benin Dechrin in a case where one of the wives was still alive when the husband died. And therefore, after the sons of the second wife collect their mother's Ketubah, the remainder, whatever is left in the estate, is divided evenly between all the father's sons. So the Gemara is explaining, my love behaka mifligi, isn't it that they are arguing in this? Demar savar achad v'chayav v'achad v'moto, yesh lahen ketubat v'nidachin? That Ben Anas holds, in this case, there is ketubat v'nidachin? Umar savar achad v'chayav v'achad v'moto, en lahem, and Rabbi Akiva holds, en lahem ketubat v'nidachin. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, ashkachtinu l'rabbanan debei Rav, I found the chachamim of the yeshiva of Rav, they were sitting down and they were saying the following. Really, de kule alma achat bechaya veachat bemoto, yesh lahem ketubat v'nidchin. Really, everyone agrees that in a case of where one wife died in his lifetime and one died following his death, yesh lahem ketubat v'nidchin. The sons of the first wife are entitled to collect the ketubat v'nidchin, meaning to exclusively collect their mother's ketubah. But here the machloket is regarding, between Ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva, regarding the question if the second ketubah can be considered motar, surplus for the other. In a case where you don't have an extra dinar in the value of the estate, so with which to fulfill the halachot of Yerusha, so do we say the second ketubah is considered like the motar or not? That's the machloket between them. Vehu adin lebaal chov kamiflegi. And also, regarding the payment that is made to the baal chov, to a creditor, they also disagree whether paying a creditor of their father is enough of a fulfillment of the Yerusha, of the inheritance, min haTorah, to allow for the children of the first wife to collect ketubat benin dechin. So Mar Savar, so Ben Anas holds ketubah na'aset motar lechaverta, that the second ketubah itself is considered motar. Vehu adin lebaal chov, and the same is true regarding a payment that is made to a baal chov, is also considered like a motar, and allows for the children of the first wife to collect ketubat benin dechin. Umar Savar, but Rabbi Akiva holds, en ketubah na'aset motar lechaverta, vehu adin lebaal chov. He holds, no, a ketubah is not enough to be considered a motar, and the same thing regarding a payment to the baal chov. So this is what Rabba says he heard from the chachamim in the yeshiva of Rav. Ve'amina lehu ana, and I said to them, ve'baal chov kule alma lo pligi dehavem otam. Regarding the payment that is made from the estate to a creditor, to a baal chov, nobody argues that that is considered a motar, meaning it fulfills the halachot of inheritance, min haTorah, and therefore the ketubat benin dechin can be collected in that case. Ki pligi b'ketubah. Where do they argue, do we say a second ketubah, is it considered a motar or not? Matkif la Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef asked the question, Ihachi, if that's the case, Rabbi Akiva omer kvar kavtza nachala. Why did Rabbi Akiva use the words when he argued with Ben Anas? Why did he say the inheritance already left the children of the first and went to the second? He should have said, im yesh motar dinar mi baile. He should have said, if there is a surplus of a dinar, I mean, that's the actual focal point of the machloket between him and Ben Anas, according to you, Rabba. So why is he not saying that? Why is he saying something else? Kvar kavtza nachala. He should have said, im yesh motar dinar. Ela amar Rav Yosef. Rather, Rav Yosef says, Be'achat b'chaya be'achat b'moto kamifligi. Rav Yosef argues with Rabbah, and he says, no, the machloket between Ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva is regarding the basic issue, whether the Chachamim instituted Ketubat Benin Dechin in a case where one wife died in his lifetime and one died following his death. That's where Ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva argue. Is there Ketubat Benin Dechin in this case or not? V'hane tana'e ki hane tana'e. Now these Tanaim, meaning Ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva, they are parallel to another Machloket Tanaim, who debated about this very same point. Detanya, it states in a Braita, Nasai Tarishona Vemeta. If a person married the first wife, and she subsequently, Lo Alenu, died. Nasai Tashniya Umetu, and then he married a second wife, and then he died. So the sons of this woman, meaning the second wife, they come after their mother died, and they collect the ktubah of their mother, if she didn't collect it while she was alive. Right? And then the rest of the estate is divided equally between all the children. The first ones collect their ktubah, and the rest of the property is divided equally. That's according to Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Yesh Motar Dinar, if Rabbi Shimon says, if there is an extra worth, a surplus of a dinar, meaning more than the sum total of both ktubot, the property is worth more, at least by a dinar, so then Elu Notlim Ktubat Iman, Ve'elu Notlim Ktubat Iman. Then we say, the sons of the first wife collect exclusively their mother's ktubah, as is the din of ktubat benidchin, and the sons of the second wife collect their mother's ktubah. Ve'im lav, but if there's no motar dinar, cholkim b'shave, then they divide the entire estate equally among themselves. Oh, my lav behaka mifligi, aren't they arguing in this very din? Demar savar, according to Rabbi Shimon, achat b'chaya ve'achat b'moto, yesh lahen ktubat benidchin. You see, according to Rabbi Shimon, that even in the case of Achad b'chayav and Achad b'moto, there is a din of ktubat b'nidachin. As long as there is a motar, he said, yeah? But there is a halakha of collection of ktubat b'nidachin. Umar savar, Achad b'chayav and Achad b'moto, en laim ktubat b'nidachin. But Tanakama held, no, there is no din of ktubat b'nidachin in this case. That's why Tanakama said, only the sons of the second wife collect the ktubah of their mother, and the rest is divided equally. The Gemara says, "Lo, de kule alma achad v'chay v'achad v'moto yesh lein ktubat benindachin." Really, both Tanaim hold that in this case there is ktubat benindachin. V'hacha bedinar mekarkae kamifligi. But the machloket between them, between Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, is regarding dinar mekarkae. If the motar, if the surplus, is in the form of karka, of real estate, meaning that there was enough real estate to cover the total sum of both ktubot, and there's an extra one dinar worth of land that was still left over. So that is the machloket between them. Mar savar mikarka e'in mitaltelelo. One holds that when do we say there is a din of ktubat benindachin, and if there is a motar, that's only if the motar is from karka, if is of real estate, but not of mitaltelim. Umar savar ben Rabbi Shimon holds afilu mitaltele. Even if the extra dinar is mitaltelim, movable property, then still it's considered motar, and the yorshim of the first wife can claim exclusively the ktubat benindachin of their mother.